Jonah chapter 1 and just the first three verses, then one verse in chapter 2. Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down there into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Now pass over to chapter 2 and verse 9. So here at the end of Jonah's prayer, we read these words, "But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, with sacrifice to you, what I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." May we pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity this evening to look into your word. Thank you for the opportunity to speak of a great need overseas. And we're thankful, Lord, for this time. We pray that you would give us your understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who will go to the Ninevites? There's a good question. The Lord calls Isaiah in chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And the Lord said, who will go? And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Jeremiah chapter 1, we see that Jeremiah was, before he was even born, he had been appointed to be a preacher to the nations. Ezekiel, the Lord tells him, "Son of man, I've appointed you." Daniel, three times we read of Daniel being a man greatly beloved. We read of Hosea preaching to his people. Here he was, a hometown local boy preaching to his people. God chose him. Amos chapter 7, verse 14, God chooses Amos, who wasn't even a prophet, to go and had a mission for him. We find the Lord coming to earth. He was sent. The Apostle Paul, we're told, he was a chosen vessel of God to go before Gentiles, kings, and the Gentiles, kings, and to his own people. And so we see all of these people being chosen, being called. And again, this evening, we want to say, who's going to go to the Ninevites? Who's going to go preach to these folks that have really no one? Now, before we look at that, just a question. Was Jonah a lesser prophet? Was he, because we read of his disobedience here. So was Jonah a category B type prophet? Is he inferior? Is he of a lower category? When God calls Jonah, was God in a desperation mode? Was he sort of the third string quarterback, the 12th guy off the bench in a desperate game? Is it really that way? Can we really look at him in that fashion? I don't think so. You know, if we look at Jonah's portfolio, if you look at his credentials, if we look at his resume, he's a little bit more than that. Look at this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. This is not his first assignment, clearly. God had probably used this man in the past. Jonah would not be an inexperienced prophet. God is not just going to tap somebody for a great task, for a great city, just out of the blue. So this man probably had some experience at his back. Yes, he's defective with sin, as we know this book. But I'm just going to simply say, I don't believe that Jonah was some sort of a lesser guy on the totem pole. I don't think also that God's word came to him, meaning that this man was up to the task. This man would have been qualified to carry out this work, and he does, by the way. God really wants Jonah to carry out this assignment. He's decently in order for sure, but God really calls him. And then thirdly, we find out that God specifically wants Jonah to go. There would have been other prophets available for sure, but God specifically wants him to go. Then notice, God goes out of his way out of his way to grab Jonah's attention. This man, he could have just gone off and God could have said, "Okay, fine, go to Tarshish, I'll find somebody else." God goes out of his way to grab his attention and to bring him back. Why would God do that? And we look at verse 1-9. Look at Jonah's testimony. And they said, "What people?" And he said, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." I'm going to take him at face for. I'm going to take him at face value. Was he disobedient? Yes, that's for sure. But I'm going to take the man at face value. He also confesses his sin. We also see what Jonah admits later on. We see his defects later. But in this case, I'm going to say, yeah, okay, this is true. Next, we find out God saves his life. And God saves his life in a miraculous way. Now, if God didn't want this man for this task, he would have let him drown. But instead, God prepares a miracle. And notice, this miracle, this great fish, just doesn't pop out of nowhere. God had prepared this fish for that particular moment. This fish just wasn't created on the spot. That fish had been, that great fish had been waiting there, had been circling that place for time, waiting for that moment. So God goes out of his way. Chapter 2 and verse 9, we read that salvation is of the Lord. He got that right. He understands that. Psalm 2:9, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 37:39, this salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Psalm 62:1, from him comes my salvation. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. So this man gets this right. Notice also, God also the second time charges this man the second time in chapter 3 and verse 1. Why would God do that if he didn't want Jonah to go there? If God were thinking lightly of this man, he wouldn't have sent him the second time. Notice also, this is a monumental and unusual task. God takes this man, I believe, qualified, certified, for a great task. His job is to bring this message of repentance to a city. We don't find anyone else doing this except this individual. We notice also, he's preaching, you can put this in parentheses, he's preaching perhaps reluctantly, perhaps unwillingly, but folks, he's doing it. Perhaps, and I wonder, would we do this in hostile territory? Even unwillingly, would we be willing to put it all on the line in a very hostile area, in a hostile place, in a very bad moment? Would we do this? And so I'm going to give him a little bit of credit on this. Notice also, he has success. Chapter 3 and verse 6, the king repents, the people repent. That's pretty good. So who's going to preach to the Ninevites? Well, this Jonah is. Again, God's going to grab this man's attention. In chapter 4 and verse 1, there is a gourd. It's destroyed by a worm. Interesting how God can choose a great aquatic animal and God can choose a very terrestrial, very small creature to grab someone's attention. He's going to go out of his way. God's going to go out of his way to teach this man some truth. Also, he writes the book of the Bible. By definition, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we got to say, this book is here, and he penned it. So what's that say about him? Then also, the Lord refers to this man twice. The Lord refers to Jonah twice. Once even saying, the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. That has the sound of a very positive endorsement. So I'm going to give this man a little bit of credit here. I'm going to give him a lot of credit. Was there a defect? Sure. Okay. But he does go to preach the Ninevites. Now, no, this is not a second-class inferior preacher. The prophet did not decide to preach. He didn't want to go to those nasty Ninevites, but yet he does. Now, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us that all scripture is given for our understanding and for our learning. Now, this evening, as we see this man chosen, do we care about the Ninevites out there? Nineveh was one town, one place, in one time. Do we care about them? Jonah was a local prophet sent off to a foreign messenger, sent off. This was, was a new experience and a new testimony. But why no concern for the Ninevites? Oftentimes we hear there is no concern for those guys over there because there's a great need here. This man could have put that argument out there. If we read 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, we just read the history of Israel, there was never, ever a lack. There was never a time when a good prophet wasn't needed. The northern kingdom needed them the whole time. The southern kingdom, often. There was never a shortage of, there was never a lack, never a moment when those kingdoms did not need the preaching of the Word of God. This man could have said, Lord, hey, you know, why go to Nineveh? We have great need right here. And folks, I would say that's true here of the United States. As the song says, we got problems in River City. We have our own problems. Don't start looking that up. Okay, later. Dr. McAllister has indicated this, the great scarcity, the great dearth of preachers in the United States. And that's true. There are literally dozens, multiplied dozens of churches in the United States that really have great need, that have need of a pastor, have need of a preacher. And they're all over the place. There is urgent need. No discussion, no debate, no question about that. But that doesn't mean that we neglect Nineveh. The Lord speaks, and he looked out in the fields, he looked out and he saw the people, and he had compassion and said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest, he will send forth laborers into the harvest. This evening, do we pray that? That is a specific prayer request that the Lord puts down for us. That is not general. We should pray, Lord, will you, Lord of the harvest, send forth workers to all the Ninevehs out there. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 30, the Lord says, the field is the world. The field is not, South Carolina. The South Carolina is part of the world, but it's not the world. It's much more extensive than that. It's much bigger than that. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, the Lord told his apostles, lift up your eyes and look in the fields. They're white unto the harvest. Not look in the field, look into the fields. There are many of them out there. When the Samaritans came, in that same chapter, they said, we know that this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. So the Lord is the Savior of Nineveh also. Yeah, Jerusalem, Judah, Israel. That's right, Jonah, you got that right. But at the same time, who's going to preach to the Ninevites? Secondly, we see we're not going to go to Nineveh. I'm born and I was raised here. And I'm not leaving. Can we admit momentarily, just for a brief, have we ever considered the Ninevehs out there? Have you considered them? And the Lord says we should stop and reflect, because with all we do, if we lose that, go into all the world and preach the gospel, I think we lose a great deal of what we hold to be true. We can look and say, we admit it, do we reflect, and we let God do the choosing for us. That's why this evening, when I read of Jonah, I'm not going to come down on him like a ton of bricks. We know the problems, okay? Because to come down on him hard, man, boy, sometimes it will come down on us hard. Because maybe sometimes there's a bit of Jonah in us. Maybe we run from the presence of the Lord. This man is saved. This man was a good prophet. He was qualified. He was called, and God called him. And this man simply said no. Do we say no sometimes? I mean, so look at them this way. Can we admit it? Perhaps we're not going to go to Nineveh because we count the cost. And hey, and we should. You know what? You go to Nineveh, you know who you, when we go to Nineveh, you know who we are? We're the foreigner. We're the guy that doesn't know, we're the one that doesn't know the customs. We're the one that doesn't know the language. We're the ones that don't know how to get along. We're the ones that don't know, and we're not in control. And perhaps we want the control. We want to be the ones in charge. We want to be the ones at the very top. When we went, just briefly, it was amazing to find out that no one could care less about what training, what we've done here. No one could care. That you had to earn that. That had to come with time. And we count the cost. We're the foreigner. Much like the Lord came to this earth. He was a foreigner in his own people. His own came unto his own received him not. That hurts. The apostles, when they went out, they were the ones. We can read the story, we can read the book of Acts from chapter 13 on and just read them. But folks, that hurt. Sometimes going out, carnal. And at times, we'll be alone. But we're never really alone because when we go through the waters, the Lord is with us. When we go through the fires, He'll take us by the hand. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And it's kind of wonderful to find out that. And there are periods of times, we praise God for the results from Jonah. That's good. But you know what? I can kind of look at that and say, boy, bless your heart, Jonah. Because to go to a Nineveh oftentimes means there will be months and perhaps years without seeing much fruit. There will be times when there will be barren moments and barren seasons and barren years. And one just says, and we heard this. What am I doing here? I could be somewhere else being productive. And folks, you know what? I said that. I said that often. That sometimes it really is just alone, and you say, why am I here? And then God says, because I called you. And just leave it at that. This evening, we look at this also. Mom and Dad, what would you say if your son or daughter said to you, I think God wants me to go preach in Nineveh. Just put that Nineveh down as place X. Would you be enthusiastic about it? Would you be earnest about that? Would you rejoice in that? Or would you say, no, he doesn't. This evening, we have to sometimes a barrier. What would we impede that? Would we stop that? Will we put a break on that? Or will we say, I'm going to pray for you about that? Surprisingly, oftentimes a Jonah has to go to Nineveh, and the block is going to be maybe mom and dad. Because, hey, that could be tough. Perhaps, what would you say if your son came home and said, you know, I think God's calling me to preach. I really believe God's calling me to preach. Would we be, no, he doesn't. there are other matters out there. Who's going to preach to the Ninevites? And this evening, would you praise God for that? Tonight, the question again, would we be willing? Tonight, will we pray for the Ninevites of the world? Will we pray for those guys out there, for the Ninevites? This evening, will we pray for the ones that are there? I thank God that you folks pray for us. And right now, we have missionaries that we support. And we should be praying for them. Pray for their health. Pray for their safety. Pray for even legal matters. I remember a commercial years ago, and if you want to know, was about another matter, but folks, if you have legal problems overseas, you're in for the hassle of your life. It could be nasty. Pray for our missionaries concerning their legal needs. Pray for our missionaries that God will open hearts for them. Pray for God to bless in the Nineveh where our people are serving, okay? This evening, will we pray for our young people that God will raise up someone, a person to go from this ministry, either to the ministry or the missionary, and not just one. We can really pray for God to bless our families and say, let's have a burden for the preaching of the Word of God and to going out and extending the gospel from this ministry, okay? And I will be remiss to say, perhaps this evening, you're still living in Nineveh. You've never trusted in Christ as your Savior. He really came to save you. He really did. He really wants to have the repentant heart and a turning unto Him. If a 95-year-old man can come to Christ, so can you. You just trust in Him and put your faith in Him.